Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Hey, everybody. Welcome to The After Party. I'm Jeff, and I'm here with Amy Chaney.
Hey.
Hey. We just finished our third week of online service, I believe.
Yes.
Because
hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. It's going fast, and it's strange. But we're happy to be together. We're separated, but we're recording this podcast from our own homes over Zoom and mixing the files together.
And here we go.
We don't know how to start this in this situation. Amy, how are you doing being in your home, isolated with your family, etc.?
Good. It's been about 3 weeks since I've gone anywhere at this point because I was on spring break from school. And then that kind of slid into this like perpetual spring break, except with lots of work in it. So I've been at home for like quite a long time. I'm starting to just get used to it and the new rhythm, which is nice, but also unsettling. Like I don't want to be used to it, but I'm starting to become accustomed. So I've got a nice little workstation and yeah, it's happening.
Great.
We're just kind of marching through this season for better or worse.
Yeah. And it's a strange season to be in because we're all alone in a sense. We're with our families or wherever we are staying in for the most part. Some people are still out and about and that makes sense. And if you're out and about, we thank you for, you know, for
if assuming you're like it's, a healthcare
yeah,
worker,
assuming it's yeah. necessary, assuming
not
you're
like
an essential.
Throwing parties.
Yeah. If you're doing that, we don't thank you. We ask you to stay in and wash your hands. But for people who are working at essential jobs, thank you for staying at it, keeping our society going. And that's where, I guess that's what the question is what do we do? What is this new situation like? And Amy, today you spoke in the message for our live service about living fully. And so let's talk about that. What, first of all, tell us a little bit about your message, what you spoke on, and then let's talk about the nitty gritty.
Yeah, sure. Well, about a week ago now, I was completely struck. I was writing an email to someone and it was just sort of like a rambling, just like brainstorm kind of an email. And from my fingertips came the question, how do we live fully when we're sheltered in place? Like that just seems so counterintuitive. And it isn't, but like at its immediate, like when you first encounter the phrase living fully, you don't think about what our lives look like right now. You think about like really dramatic worship experiences and coming together in groups of people and serving one another in close physical proximity. You know, you think about living fully extremely differently than how we're being asked to live so that we can love others and love our neighbors. Because truly the best way to love our neighbors is to stay home, stay away from them. And limit their exposure consequentially. So that sort of big question, how do we live fully when we're sheltered in place, led me to thinking about, well, actually our entire vision sounds confusing now. And our vision being live fully, love deeply, and give freely. That's how we believe we become a community that helps people find their way back to God at Harbor. And all three of these phrases are so familiar, but they're familiar within a context of what we have decided is normal life. So we've decided that gathering in groups of hundreds of people on Sunday to worship is normal life. We've decided that throwing dinner parties in our homes with 20 people is normal life. We've decided that giving to one another of our talent and treasure and time is normal life by like showing up and serving meals to needy people. And we've assigned these sort of like practices or tasks or you know, regular events in our life or whatever to these vision statements, when that's actually limited us in understanding the full breadth of what they mean. And right. they stand strong. They're not inapplicable to mm-hmm. this situation. And so today in our service, I talked about how this idea of living fully comes straight from John 3:16, which is, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, so that those who believe in him can live an eternal life." And that idea of living an eternal life is, it is like this super summarized little gospel of like, well, because we believe in Jesus, we are made new in him. We're forgiven. Mm-hmm. Our past is dead. It's crucified right alongside Jesus. We become temples of God himself. The fact that we have the Holy Spirit in us means that we are temples of the creator of the universe. Whoa. Like, that is sort of mind-blowing. That is so much bigger than gathering together in a building and worshiping on a Sunday. That is the kind of big mind-blowing thing that doesn't change whether we're sheltered in place or in a room full of people. And so today was just about kind of redrawing our attention to that essential truth, mm-hmm. which is that we get to live fully. We're invited into fully living because of our faith, because God fills us with his spirit, and because we, when we live in Christ, we live as a new creation. And so this, like, living fully is actually an invitation to sort of wear our faith around, as opposed to like events or like social gatherings mm-hmm. or even worship gatherings, is sort of like a limited view of what it means to live fully. And I think that's important yeah. to remember now when we feel like everything in our life is so limited. That truth actually isn't. It like rises to the occasion and becomes this like even more powerful thing right now. Yeah. So
great. And so
anyway, that was more than 30 seconds. Sorry.
That's all right. No, I don't think I set a time limit today, so it's fine.
I love that, because it's like, our situation has changed drastically, and we're not trying to fit our values to fit our situation. We are taking the values that we know to be true and saying, how do we fit our situation into that? How do we understand our new present reality within that value set of knowing that we need to live fully, that we, in order to help people find their way back to God, that we still need to live fully? And so we're adjusting our worldview, but not our sturdy foundation of what we believe.
Yeah.
Maybe
I would even argue, right. Like last week in service, we talked about how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. These truths, the vision for our church and how we are to live, is not remotely shaken or destabilized mm-hmm. by this. That's the thing. Everything else is destabilized right. and shaken. The entire world is, it's like a massive earthquake on our ideals and what we're used to, but one thing isn't shaking, and that's the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
But how biblical is that, though? I mean obviously we're talking about it, but like, how ecclesiastical is that? Ecclesiastes, which says everything is fleeting, everything is vapor, it's just in the wind, ready to be blown away. And it just kind of, it's we can say it, but until we're feeling it, we don't know it. And right now we're in a place where everything feels temporary. Everything feels like all of our structures are kind of, they're not crumbling completely, but they're shaken enough that we can feel the futility of it all. And so all we can do is rest in the sturdiness of God's truth.
Yeah, I've actually, there have been a couple of times in my life, this is one of them, and this is certainly the most like global of mm-hmm. these times, but I've had some times that are a bit more personal, when I have truly, like deeply, without any irony, wondered how on earth people without faith are getting through this.
Sure.
I know they are, because I know those people. I know that they're coping in their own ways, but I'm so grieved that so many people on this planet don't know about this. Mm-hmm. And I have been drawn to those people. I'm like tearing up right now, actually, as I'm talking about this. I'm sorry. I didn't see that coming.
That's all right. It's real. We're all feeling it.
But I've been drawn in prayer to these people just constantly over the last few weeks, just wondering how, I mean, people that I love who don't know Jesus, how in the world are they coping with this? So that to me is also just sort of like a very personal and visceral, like heart proof of the power of this truth, and how, like, if the passion that my voice is relaying is means something to you, I don't know. It just seems like such an important thing to be reminded of right now, is that not everything is coming undone.
Right. That is very helpful.
Yeah.
Not everything is coming undone. And yet we still need to live fully. Or that's the hope. That's the encouragement we're offering today. So how do we do that? What does that really look like to live fully day to day in this strange time?
There are probably a million ways, but when I think about it, and today we talked about the word behold, and behold means to stand in awe and amazement of God. And I think that that can sound trite very easily, but, when I think about it in my own life, the way that I am remaining fully alive, I mean, because it would be very easy to become literally a shell of oneself and fall into despair. A lot of people, I think, are battling that right now for good reason. There's no criticism here from me at all. And even I mean, I struggle with cycles of anxiety and depression in general in life, let alone when things are big like this are happening. And there's a difference between like depression and emptiness. And I can feel depressed clinically and still full of the Holy Spirit. I have, over time, I've learned how to allow those things to exist at one time. And one of the ways that I can continue feeling full is by noticing what things have gone unchanged. Those things that have gone unchanged are likely God things. So, I mean, today in the sermon, I was like, go outside and let the rain fall on your face. It's raining today. In 3 weeks, all of the trees are going to burst forth with green leaves. And my husband grew up in Hawaii, so he didn't have seasons when he was younger.
How unfortunate for him.
I know. I know, right? But he grew up where, like, there wasn't a bare season. And then, like, he calls it the salad. Like, when the when the trees just sort of burst forth with their leaves, he calls it salad is here.
Great.
And that will happen in about 3 weeks. Earth Day is April 22nd. It's my daughter's birthday. And that is generally around there is the day when the leaves pop out. That will happen. Even though people are dying, even though people are sick, even though there's so much wrong and so much scary, that will still happen. There will still be new life in a few weeks. And I actually think about how merciful it is that this is all happening during a spring season. God did not choose to, I don't know, meet us in this moment with like a death season. I mean, dying season is fall, right? But in the midst of all of this, we are going to walk outside and our eyes are going to itch with pollen allergies, but we're going to look at our feet and there'll be tulips emerging from the ground. Leaves will come forward. He will be reminding us of new life this entire time.
Yeah.
And that's beholding God. That's like, that is unchanged, even though there's so much that has changed. People talk about having a practice of gratitude, and I think that's important too. Yeah. What things are you thankful for? That's kind of evidence of provision. But I think that in addition to gratitude, we need to have a posture of beholding, which is different than gratitude. It's different than provision. It's continuity and stability, which is something we can be grateful for, but to kind of be have gratitude, but then also beholding God and his unchangingness is an important way to stay grounded, I think, in a time like this.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about what the opposite would be, which would be living passively. The opposite of living fully would be living passively. And I think that is the easy thing to do, to just be in your social media, be on Facebook, watching the news, seeing everything happening around us and succumbing to it and letting it consume us emotionally and attention-wise, and all of our mental and emotional energy goes to it. Mm. Or we can live fully, step back from it, and behold. And I think,
right.
And not that they can't coexist, but I think you need to step away from that passive in order to live fully, to step away from the news, the loudness of everything around us, and behold God, behold the glory.
I've even noticed, so I used to be a very news-averse person, like mm-hmm. it would trigger my anxiety in actually times that were much more peaceful than now. Like I, not in the middle of a global pandemic and economic crisis, but like just normal days, I would avoid reading the news. I have read a lot of news intentionally through this. I made a choice kind of early on to allow the size of this problem, like the scope and the scale of this crisis, be impressive to me,
mm-hmm.
So that I can also behold the scope and the scale of God as mm-hmm. he meets me in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think also that ignoring the reality and the pain and the uncertainty, like ignoring that, can also limit our ability to behold, actually, because God becomes greater. The greater this circumstance is, the more we're shaken, the more impressive it is that yeah. God meets us in it and pulls us through. So it's a
I appreciate that.
Balance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a balance. And that doesn't, everyone has their own balance too. So right. I'm not saying everyone should read the news all day long, but
right.
Right. That was kind of an intentional, like spiritual choice that I made, which is make the decision to feel the overwhelm of this and allow that to be matched by how overwhelmingly good God is. And
yeah, I love that.
It's hard, but
yeah. Yeah. other small steps, if I may pose a few.
Yeah.
I think, and these are basic and these have been around, but like small steps to living fully is get a good night's sleep, get some exercise, wake up, don't give up on like intentional patterns you've set, put on some pants.
Like
always pants.
Always pants.
As much as people love their sweats, it keeps you in your, generally speaking, keeps people in their lazy mode. It keeps me in my lazy mode.
I saw a meme that said flannel after 8 hours feels like failure. And I was like, that is accurate. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Flannel is failure.
Yeah. No judgment to those who do, but
in my experience,
making those choices
yeah.
keeps you living fully. And taking that time to sit with God.
Mm.
But we are, well, before we move on, do you have any other important steps, practical little things to live fully?
I wrote this in one of our Lent blogs, probably one of the first ones mm-hmm. before this crisis kind of escalated as much as it has. And I recently, just a month or so ago, spent time with a really smart, wise person who said that at the beginning of every day, before he even looks at his phone, he goes outside and takes a deep breath and says, thank you, God, for this day.
That's great.
And he said, even when it's snowing, raining, cold, whatever, to get that first breath of like that you have control of in the day to be fresh air from the outside is the way he likes to start his day. And I haven't done it. I'm not saying that I've done that, although it'd be very easy for me to, and I probably should. But fresh air is important as well.
Yeah.
It reminds us that we are not trapped and suffocated, that there is a lot of air, and filling your lungs with fresh air, if you're able to, is I think a really important way to live fully too, or set yourself up to.
Sure.
Something beautiful. About it.
Great. You wrote in the Lent blog this week about finding a new normal, and that maybe returning to normal is not the point, because we're talking about living fully in this new normal. And I think a lot of people are saying, when this goes back to normal, I'm going to do this. When this goes back to normal, I'm not going to take this for granted, etc. But you posited that maybe normal is not the point.
Mm-hmm. Can you
go into that a little bit so we can chat about it?
Yeah. Over and over and over again throughout scripture, God says no to the status quo and instead creates a brand new reality. He does it throughout the Old Testament. He does it through Jesus. God is not in the way that he writes his own story. You know, he's not painting a picture of him being glorified in normal or in status quo. He's there too. I mean, he doesn't ever leave, but he is most glorified when we notice the new thing that he's doing. And that takes noticing it, and it means intentionally stepping towards it. And I think that it's very tempting because I personally, my birthday is on Tuesday. So
happy
I'm about
early
to turn
birthday.
A year older. Yeah. But I'm in my 30s, in the 30-something, I won't tell you exactly how many, in the 30-something years that I've been alive, the world hasn't changed that much. It hasn't, right? Like social media has been invented. I'm like an elder millennial. So I remember the world before social media, but I also am a native to it, kind of. So the world's changed, I guess, logistically a lot. But the systems by which we live and the systems by which we measure success have been the same my whole life. They've just ramped up. Traffic is worse. To-do lists are longer. It's just like a constant kind of slow escalation in how we do things. And I heard some smart people over sometime last week talking about how we could look at this time in the history of humanity as the great reset, as like an opportunity to sort of reset the way that we measure these good things in our life. And in the sermon today, I talked about how we erased March, which was the last time we had anything to do outside of like our family logistics, right, and working from home. And I don't necessarily want to hurry back to the hurry and the fullness, like the bad fullness of the busyness of what normal felt like. I read an article yesterday about how like stores are selling out of baby chickens because people are getting chickens and they're planting gardens and they're like returning to the earth. And I'm okay with that. I'm also afraid of losing the comfort of the systems that I understand and feel like I can be successful within. So there's some anxiety there, but I think that God is glorified most when he makes these like dramatic shifts in the reality of the way humanity is living and case in point, Jesus Christ.
Sure.
And just the turning everything completely upside down through his death, the abrupt ending of the violence between man and God, and the abrupt healing of that, that we benefit from. And we've never lived before Jesus, so we're not as sensitive to it probably as like first century Christians. Not probably, like definitely. So I just think that we should allow ourselves to wonder what God is resetting in us personally, in us institutionally, nationally, globally. What is God resetting and what is God doing new, as opposed to rushing back to whatever we were comfortable with? I think that would be a loss of opportunity.
Because reset is such a different mindset than advance. And we've only been an advance culture. We've only been a exhale culture. In Old Testament law, they required every 7 years would be a year of Jubilee, which they would take a break from farming for a year to reset the land. They would forgive debts. And I'm sure there were more things that I'm not remembering, but like it is constantly part of God's character to say, okay, let's reset. Let's rest. Seventh day of creation, let's rest. reset. And I'm not saying that this is God-ordained resting, but I think there could definitely be a resetting that we take from it societally.
So we talked last podcast about how, like, God, the pain and the death that's being caused by this virus is not of God. God has not decided to plague humanity as, like, something vengeful.
Right.
But God absolutely can grace us with an opportunity to rest through it. That's part of how he meets us in this massive crisis. And I love that you just brought up a year of Jubilee. I hadn't thought about this yet, but like 2020 as sort of a Jubilee year, there's some like weird debts being forgiven kind of like funniness about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Because in Jubilee year, everybody's debts were forgiven.
Right.
And here we are, like, the government is allowing us to not pay mortgage payments.
Right.
And it's completely different. We're not saying that this is like an official.
Not a one-to-one comparison, thing. But.
But there's an interesting avenue to take down that line of thinking, I think. Yeah. Huh.
That's more to ponder, but it's this is a time to say, okay, what have I lost? What is this situation showing me I can live without? What is this situation saying has always been unimportant but important in my mind? And how can I move forward into what I know is important? How can I take what God is showing me into this next step? I that's not a question or an answer, just a thought.
Well, it is a good question.
Yeah.
I think it's a question everyone has to ask themselves. One of the things that I always find remarkable, my dogs are barking in the background. I don't know if you can hear it. If you can, they're sweeter than they sound.
They're great.
but something that I consistently feel is remarkable, something remarkable about God, is how he's able to speak clearly and wholly through entire groups of people, entire humanities, entire civilizations, entire groups, families, but also through the individual. And so I think that there's a big question. That question applies to the church. How is the church going to reset?
Yes.
What things is the church no longer going to do because they realized that that had become unuseful or unhelpful? Then there's each individual family. My husband and I sat at the kitchen table and talked for an hour yesterday just about, we just processed some things and how are we as the Cheney family going to reset? What are we not going to return to because we have realized it is no longer helpful in our family mission of advancing the gospel for the glory of God? And then me individually, what am I not going to do? What kind of new ways am I going to think about how to achieve? What does success look like now? It certainly looks different than it did 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And how do I become okay with that? I'm not okay with it yet, by the way. I don't want anyone to mistake this entire podcast for me thinking this is totally fine.
Right. Oh, yeah. We've felt scary. It's been hard and now we're over it moving forward.
No. This is like, for me to decide, like, I'm an ambitious person. I have career goals. I had like things that I wanted to accomplish that I'm actually not sure are going to exist for me anymore.
Right.
Not just for me, but for like people.
Yeah.
And I'm grieving that. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing that is important to me. I look at my kids and I'm like, gosh, their future, I can't even predict what their future looks like now. How do I set them up for success if I don't even know what that will look like?
Right.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
But it's a great reset. So I trust God. I do with my whole heart, but it doesn't mean that it's easy. Yeah. Definitely not.
So we have to be like respectfully open-handed with what is coming because we don't know. But we know that God's in control. Do you have any final thoughts to leave our people with, our listeners, our participants in the gospel mission?
I'm so thankful for community. I'm thankful for the, probably when we really counted out, nearly 200 people that tuned in live today to worship with us and to like have a imperfect, I mean, this is not what anyone imagines church, but this is the point though. Like, I don't know what parts of what have that we've been doing have been not essential. Today felt like all of the essential things. We took communion together. We sang together. We had that. My favorite part of these live services are the end when everyone's talking at once and it's just horrible and you can't understand what anyone's saying, but it just feels like 100 people eager to say hello to their friends, which is the most beautiful sound in the world, regardless of how glitchy it is over Zoom. Right. And I'm thankful for people. I'm so glad that I know all over Massachusetts, there are people who came together in prayer today. Mm-hmm. Who lifted God's name up, who wept, who gathered.
And even beyond Massachusetts, just to shout out our New Hampshire and Pennsylvania and beyond family.
Yeah. And like, how foolish are we to have ever thought that scripture that says we're more than one gather, I'm there. Mm-hmm. How foolish have we been to think that meant physically? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
cool.
I think God has always been expanding our circles.
Yeah.
Just historically from Adam to Abraham to his family to the Israelites to all people, and now even further into the virtual realm. His kingdom is expanding in new and glorious ways.
I know. God is in the internet.
Yeah.
What? It's beautiful.
What?
And we're all televangelists.
All of a sudden overnight. I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. It is mind-blowing. And so like that's the whole point. That moment we just had where we were like, "Oh my gosh, God's on the internet and he's gathering us together from far away." That moment of awe and wonder is part of that is us living fully, of feeling like, well, we are but so small compared to the greatness of God that I only partially understand because I'm merely a human. Mm. So live fully. You get to.
Live fully.
And your calendar, your fridge, your bank account, your to-do list does not need to be full in order for you to be invited to live fully in Jesus Christ. So
that's
my ending word. Yeah.
Great.
See you later, family.
We love you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.